بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the qualities of the people who are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is in keeping with our series of reminders on our identity as Muslims, the Muslim identity. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the qualities of those people who He chose to call as His slaves. As I mentioned earlier, there is no honor that is bigger than the honor of being called my slave by Allah. And that honor was given to Rasulullah ﷺ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him Abdihi. He said his slave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slave. And all of us, alhamdulillah, bidnillahi ta'ala, are ibadullah and ibadur rahman. And therefore, it is important for us to look at the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, which He likes and which He mentioned as the qualities of those of His slaves, which He likes to call His slaves. The first of them, these are the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and Allah said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the slaves of Allah, of Ar-Rahman, are those who walk on the earth in humility, in humbleness, and when the ignorant address them, when they are when people who have no manners, when people who are ignorant, when they call to them or they argue with them or they address them, they say salama, they say peace be on you, they say may you be happy by yourself, salam, they say salam, they say peace. I was reading something wonderful which a dear friend of mine sent to me, which was Leo Tolstoy on kindness and the measure of love. Now, it's in that there is a beautiful quote of Leo Tolstoy, and he said, you should respond with kindness towards evil done to you. And by doing that, you will destroy in an evil person that pleasure which he derives from evil. You should respond with kindness toward evil done to you, and you will destroy in an evil person that pleasure which he derives from evil. Now, it's like, you know, instead of paying them back in kind, you pay them back in a way which destroys the evil. It takes away their pleasure, because nothing gives them more pleasure than to see you hassled. But if you are not hassled and you just say salam and go away, that is what gets them. That's what really bothers them. And so Leo Tolstoy says, do that. It is even good for you, because you will not allow them to enjoy the evil that they are doing to you. I remind myself and you, the first and foremost of these qualities which Allah mentioned is this: to return evil with good. Not return evil with evil, to return evil with good. Now, this is the beauty of our religion, which focuses only and only on positive. And say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, when we are looking at this particular, the first ayat, which is number 63, and it says the quality of the Ibadur Rahman is that they are humble, they walk on the earth with humility. And this is because they understand, if you are a slave does not walk arrogantly, because a slave is humble by nature. The slave is humble because he is a slave. He understands that he is a slave. He understands that he doesn't own the earth. He doesn't even own himself, because he belongs to somebody else, and that somebody else is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he walks on the earth, he walks humbly. Now this does not only refer to walking, it means behaves in a humble way. Is not arrogant in his speech, is not arrogant in his actions, is not arrogant in his behavior. A person who is humble, a person who is kind, a person who is good to people. And not just good to people, but a person who is good even to the one who is not good to him. Now, I want to remind myself and I want to request you to reflect on this. You know, being good to somebody who is good to you is natural. It is, if you didn't do that, then it would be, and you would be the evil person. But retaliating with somebody who is evil, in the measure of that person's evil. So if somebody said something to you and you replied to him in the same way, not exceeding that, but to that extent, then that would be justice, inshallah. It would not be, you would not be guilty of oppression. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do something better than that. Allah is saying, don't respond in kind, don't even ignore, but respond with beauty, respond in a beautiful way, respond with goodness, respond to evil with goodness. Now think about that. It's interesting to note that arrogance comes to those who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The poor, people who are poor are by nature not arrogant. But people who are wealthy, and doesn't need to have, you don't have to be a billionaire for that. In your society, in your environment, even if you have a little bit more which sets you apart, then shaitan comes to you and me and tells us that we are better than others. This may be in terms of money, it may be in terms of power, it may be in terms of authority, it may be in terms of knowledge. That's why I say that arrogance is the disease of the ulama and the umara, the amirs and the kings and the leaders, as well as the scholars. If they are not watchful, then they become arrogant. It's a strange thing. It's a kind of a paradox in my view, because blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must create humility, must create shukr, must create thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One must look at it and say, Allah, it's only because of you that I am in this position. Otherwise, I could have been a loser in this world. I could have been somebody who the world despised. But instead of that, you put love for me and respect for me in the hearts of people. So people love and respect me. It's not because of any intrinsic value or quality of mine, but because this is what you put in their hearts. And so therefore, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is wealth or whether it's power or authority or knowledge, must in fact create humility. But on the contrary, it creates arrogance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, do not be arrogant, be humble. And the sign of humility is that even if you are insulted by somebody, even if you are, if somebody is abrasive to you, even if somebody is rude to you, then you don't respond in kind. You behave humbly there and you just say salam alaikum and you move away. The second thing is that the hadith of Rasulullah sallam, where he said that an arrogant person, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that kibriyai or kibr is my cloak, and anyone who wants to take from it, I will destroy him. So kibriyai, this not arrogance, because to Allah we don't use this term, but greatness belongs only to Allah. Therefore, to be arrogant is the shortest way to Jahannam. It's the grease slide. You put your foot on it and you're gone. Because arrogance nullifies all good deeds. An arrogant person's deeds are not accepted. His ibadat are not accepted because they're coming out of arrogance. Another big problem with arrogance is that it brings about, it is a root cause of riya, of showing off, which is shirk. Because an arrogant person feels that, oh, you see, I'm praying so much and I'm doing this and that. And to maintain that, he shows off. He shows off his knowledge. He shows off his ibadat. He shows off his wealth. One of the common things that we see, for example, sometimes is people saying, oh, I will make dua for you in tahajjud. So now, tahajjud was a private conversation between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you now brought somebody else into it and you displayed this in a way which apparently, I mean, you're not actually saying to people, I am praying tahajjud, but you're saying, well, I will make dua for you in tahajjud, which means what? That you're praying tahajjud. Now, something which was a secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a very good thing to have such secret deeds which only Allah knows. You are now making it public, so now everybody knows that you pray tahajjud. And now why are you doing that? Because you want to show off. And this is riya, this is what comes into the action and turns a good action into an action of shirk. My brothers and sisters, this issue of arrogance, the encouragement towards humility and the prohibition of arrogance is so severe, it's so strong. I'm not even talking about behaving arrogantly like some people, they rave and rant and scream and they curse, and especially to their servants and so on, they behave with them in an arrogant way, they show disrespect to them, they abuse them. And only because the man is poor or the woman is poor, he or she has to take your salary, so they keep quiet. But in their hearts, they're cursing you. This is to invite the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not take Allah long to convert you and put you in that position where you become somebody's servant and somebody curses you and you have to shut up and listen to that. Beware and be aware and be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear His anger. The other thing is, if you look at another hadith of Rasulullah, he said that if a person makes another person stand out of a sense of arrogance, meaning that you are sitting and this person comes and there is a chair to sit, or you are sitting on the ground and you still don't offer that person a place to sit, you force him to continue to stand in your presence because you think that you are so grand that nobody can sit in your presence. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, anyone who has that attitude, he said, on the day of judgment, he will go and search and find his own seat in Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from these actions. Another thing which is, very sad to see, is how we tend to treat those who work for us. For example, in Ramadan, you will see that your servants who are Muslims are slaving away in the kitchen, making all kinds of iftar goodies, while you are sitting there making dua, and you're saying, oh, but this is the time for ibadah. It's the time for ibadah, yes, but not only for you. It's the time for ibadah also for that servant. So why are you giving this servant this work where you want all kinds of goodies and samosas and stuff for your iftar, and this deprives the servant of connecting with his Rabb, with her Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, and it prevents them from making dua. See, how sad is that? Another one is when we give zakat. In Hyderabad, may Allah forgive us, there is actually a demand for what are called zakat clothing. Zakat ke saadiyan, zakat ke kapde. Now, we, in Ramadan, when you go, shopkeepers, clothing shopkeepers even ask you, do you want zakat saris? Do you want zakat clothing? Meaning, this is some third-rate cloth which is like tissue paper or something and won't even last. But obviously, there are enough people buying this stuff for there to be enough of a demand for people to produce this substandard clothing, and the shopkeeper is still making a profit on it. Now, how are we going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran, Allah said, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah said, you cannot reach the level of birr, you cannot reach a level where Allah is pleased with you until you give in the path of Allah that which you love the most. Not something which is garbage, not trash, but something which you love the most. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the famous hadith, he said, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. And in this case, the brother means the brother in deen as well as the brother in humanity, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, minimum is you give them what you use for yourself. So if you are using a certain standard of clothing or food or something, then in charity, we must give at least that much. Ideally, give even better than that. But even if you're not giving better than that, give at least that much. This is the requirement. So I remind myself and you, let us learn to be the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reflecting on this ayat of Surah Al-Furqan and inculcate humility within ourselves and inculcate humility in the way we deal with people, in the way we treat people, and do it with humbleness. And even if we are at the receiving end of somebody's bad manners, still don't retaliate, don't curse, don't say, don't give back in kind, but say salam and move away. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy and to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.